Well, I maybe should have asked Jan first, but I'd like to actually invite every person that lives in the town of Caddis, and I'm inviting everyone that lives in the town of Kennard to come to the parsonage for a fish fry. Now, it's going to be an all-you-can-eat fish fry. The only caveat is that I'm just serving a single meal from Long John Silver's for us all to share. Now, I'm going to spring for the three-piece, though, with fries, hush puppies, and slaw. So I'd kind of like to get a head count of who might be interested in sharing with hundreds of people the one meal. Okay, apparently this isn't going to work out like maybe I had thought ahead of time. I mean, how silly it is to imagine trying to feed hundreds of people with one fish dinner from Long John Silver's. How silly. Well, how silly, if hundreds is silly for one meal, how silly is it for thousands to be fed with just one meal? And actually, that's what we're about to read in the next verse in Mark. We're still in chapter 6, and the next verse is verse 30, and from verse 30 to 44 is where we find this story that you're all familiar with of Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus. But let's start with verse 30. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and all they had taught. Now, you know me, in my mind, I'm just not going to read that and pass on to the next verse. I'm imagining it in my mind. I'm seeing a ministry tour, big, fancy, shiny tour buses, the murals on the side of the bus, maybe with all the 12 disciples pictured on them. You know, their hands folded, kind of looking up, looking real cool. Maybe some sunglasses. Maybe some of them even doing the fish lip. You know, smile. Get their picture on that side of the bus. Keeping in the fish theme as well here. And maybe on the side of the bus it says, Disciples First Century Ministry Tour. Well, that's maybe how I imagine it, but that's not how it was at all, was it? If you remember, just a couple weeks ago, we were in the verses that said, Jesus then sent them out two by two. And he said, go to all the villages. Well, they were coming back from that. He had told them to teach and to heal and to cast out demons. Well, now they're back, and now they're super excited to share their stories with Jesus. That's what that verse was telling us. They might have been saying things like, hey, Jesus, you can't believe how many people are demon-possessed out there. Or, Jesus, you'll never believe the number of folks we were able to heal. Or, Jesus, we were so excited. The people were so patient and attentive to listen to everything we had to tell them about you and about the Father. And Jesus must have been sitting there, all smiles, listening to the disciples share everything that had just happened to them. Well, verse 31 goes on, saying, then Jesus said, well, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Well, he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Have you ever noticed how often Jesus, either by himself or with his disciples, wanted to find time for rest? I mean, I cannot imagine what it must have been like for the disciples to do their ministry. Sometimes I feel a little drained just doing two church services myself. And it's not that talking is hard by any means, but it's the passion, it's the emotional and spiritual energy behind it. You know, I go to Kennard Friends Church at 9:30 and then we have the service there. Get here sometime after 10:40 and we have the service here. And it seems like sometimes I just feel emotionally and spiritually drained. And it's not the talking that's the problem. It's the it's trying to make sure I say everything correctly. that I pray that God wants me to say what he wants me to say, and that I say it the way he wants me to say it. But if I feel a little bit of that, think what the disciples must have felt on their ministry tour that they just got back from. Not only should they have been very emotionally and spiritually drained from all that teaching and healing, but think of the physical that they had to go through, the physical tiredness. No wonder Jesus thought it was a good time to go rest. I mean, I've got an F-150 that takes me from church to church. They had sandals. I've got an air-conditioned cabin to go from church to church. They probably had a palm branch as a fan. I've got XM radio for entertainment. They could whistle. That's about it. Well, Jesus and the disciples needed to rest whenever and wherever they could. Today was going to be that day, except. Dun, dun, dun. And we get to verse 33. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and then he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So, instead of sleeping, instead of resting, Jesus began teaching them many things. Jesus must have ripped the page out of his day planner and thrown it away. The planned idea for a day of rest was good, but it wasn't going to happen. Instead, he started teaching one topic and then another. Maybe he taught on sin, repentance, forgiveness, love, generosity, joy, all kinds of topics. And the people just kept listening. They leaned forward to hear everything he had to say. Sitting in that hot sun was okay. It wasn't a problem. The fact that they had missed lunch was okay. It wasn't a problem. The hours passed. Well, verse 35 says this. Late in the afternoon, because Jesus had been teaching for a while now. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "Now this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. How about sending the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat?" Well, the disciples saw a problem brewing. And even though no one in the crowd was complaining, at least Mark doesn't tell us about the crowd complaining, the disciples' stomachs started growling. And they thought the solution was, let's conclude this seminar and let the folks go and buy a Happy Meal at the nearest McDonald's. That'll take care of things. But now Jesus saw the problem also, yet he had a different solution in mind. And that's what verse 37 tells us. Jesus looked at the disciples when they told him the problem, which was a very real problem, and he just looks at them and says, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." And when I read that, I think they still don't get it. They don't get it. They are in the presence of the man who has already turned water into wine. They're in the presence of the man who has healed many people of many types of diseases. They're in the presence of the man who has released people from being demon-possessed for years. They're in the presence of the man who has taken dead people and raised them back to life. Even before they became disciples, if you remember the story where Peter and some of the other folks that were working in the fishing industry with him, some of whom became disciples along with Peter, they were along the side of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was along the beach teaching people at that time. And he called out to Peter, he says, "Hey, can I use your boat? if I could sit in the boat, I could talk to these people. They could hear me better. And Peter, according to the scripture, says, yeah, that's okay. Well, the reason Peter was in the boat to start with is they were cleaning their nets from a night of fishing where nothing happened. And again, that's how they paid their light bill, was by catching fish, selling it, and they could take care of their bills. Well, Jesus was teaching. He got done teaching in the boat. And then knowing that these apostles, or soon to be apostles, knowing these guys were cleaning their nets from a non-productive night of fishing, he says, hey, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And Peter must have been thinking, you know what, we're professional fishermen. I think, what do? You're a seminar speaker, something like this. And we've been fishing all night. It wasn't a good catch. They're not biting today, although they catch them in a net. Nighttime is the time to catch fish because the fish come to the surface at the cool temperatures. Now it's daytime. They're down low. They're throwing in the nets. Not going to benefit anybody. Now we're going to get our nets dirty again. Have to clean them all over. But Peter, when Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. Again, Peter wasn't a disciple yet. And Peter cast it on the other side. You remember what happened, don't you? The nets filled with fish, bursting with fish. So much that Peter calls the other boat over, and the two men of boats, are trying to get the fish in the boats. And there's so many fish, the boats are starting to sink. Now, I share all that with you to say that these men have seen a lot of things that Jesus has done before they become disciples, and then the whole time they've been with him as disciples. And Jesus says, you feed them, and they say, with what? Don't they realize who they are following? Well, we could give it to the disciples, but hold on just a minute. Don't we do the same thing at times as believers? We may not have the physical person of Jesus with us, but we have something even greater that was sent to us. If you recall, before Jesus ascended on that mountain up into heaven, he told the few disciples that were with him, he said this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's a power coming, and it's in the person of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to remind ourselves of is when we become a Christian, when we accept Christ as our Savior, automatically, not after so many attendance at church, or not after so much money given to the offering, not after so many times you've taught Sunday school, as soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And then he helps us in so many ways. That's a number of other sermons. But the point today is that power is in us. And so if that power is in us, I say this, let's live like we know that. Let's pray like we know that. Let's have faith like we know that. So the next time you got a problem, and it's like Jesus says, well, do this. And you're saying, with what? I don't know what doctor to call. I don't know which accountant to check with. I don't know which counselor to contact. I don't have that skill. I don't have those resources. Do you know who you're following? Do you know who lives inside of you? Okay, well, I think I've made that point. Verse 38 continues. After Jesus tells him, well, you feed him, he says, well, how much bread do you have? Go find out. So the disciples walk the crowd to take inventory of the food. And we will soon find out that 5,000 men plus women and children were surveyed. And every time I read this story or think about this story, of all these thousands of people gathered, they've left their homes And somehow they realized Jesus was speaking at this remote place. Remember, that's what the Bible told us. They're in a remote place. This isn't the town square. How did every one of those thousands leave home without even a snack? You know, for me, I carry an emergency candy bar and bag of chips with me at all times, even when I'm leaving from Kennard to go to Shirley for Taco Tuesday, because you just never know what might happen. Well, the end of verse 38 says, they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We've surveyed thousands of people, and here's what we found. And I believe they said it sarcastically. Jesus, problem solved. We got this taken care of. We have found 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How's that for you? Well, how are they going to feed 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 with this one sack of lunch? Kind of like Jan and I trying to feed all of Caddis and all of Kennard, 500 to 600 people with a single meal from Long John Silver's. It's inadequate. More than that, it's impossible. That's the point. It's impossible to do this. And yes, it's impossible with man, but here's the good news. Here's another message for today. Here's another takeaway for today. And you know this already, so it's just a reminder. With God, all things are possible. You're facing a medical situation, and the doctors say it's impossible to heal. The dish disease, there's not a cure for that. So we can't go and find a bottle of medicine to fix that. But with God, all things are possible. Is your financial situation looking bleak and you're wondering how you're going to meet some of your basic needs? Well, with God, all things are possible. There's a relationship that seems completely severed, and it seems like the only way out for these people is divorce. But with God, all things are possible. Maybe you have a family friend, a friend or a family member who says they have no interest in God and you're concerned about their soul. Well, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible according to God's will. Our job is to ask and seek and knock with our requests. And that part of Scripture that talks about asking and seeking and knocking, it doesn't say just do it once. The actual original language says ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Well, we finish up today's section of Scripture with verse 39 through 44. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus then took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Watch the miracle, it's getting ready to happen. And he looked up into heaven and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Now, picture this in your mind. Jesus just looked up to the heaven, took this little bit that he had, blessed it, seen crowds of thousands in groups of 50 or 100. He's got his disciples with him. He apparently has 12 baskets at least, and he starts filling up disciple number one with baskets of bread. Go ahead and take that out. Basket number two, disciple number two. Take it over there. 3, 4, 9, 10, 11, 12. They're all out distributing bread, and they come back, and Jesus is still pulling bread. And then it says, he also divided fish for everyone to share. He's getting bite-sized pieces of fish, pulled off, put in the baskets. Now, look at verse number 42. They ate, it says they all ate as much as they wanted. It was an all-you-could-eat fish fry, or dried fish, or as someone at Kinder suggested, maybe it was sushi. I don't know. But however it was, They ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. So we don't know how many, but we know at least 5,000. The guess could be 10, 15, maybe even 20,000 people. Well, there may be lessons to learn from what Jesus did. One of my takeaways is that Jesus wants to meet our physical needs as well as our spiritual needs. And likewise, we are to be on the lookout for ways we can meet people's physical needs in addition to meeting their spiritual needs. You see, people want to know how much you care before they care how much you know. We know a lot about Jesus, and we could share that with people, but they first want to know that you care about them as a person. So spend time caring, and then share what you know. Another takeaway or application is about God's provision in this story. It would have been tremendous, a tremendous miracle, if the 5 loaves and 2 fish would have provided each person with just a small handful of bread and fish. Or it would have been a complete miracle if he had provided one bite for everyone. Just enough to kind of take the edge off. But God's provision did not, and I will say does not, stop with enough. His provision was to give each person more than enough. It said in that scripture we read, everyone, not some, everyone ate as much as they wanted. Who wants seconds? Who wants thirds? Then after everyone was full, Jesus could continue his teaching. That day, people not only left with their bellies full, but they left with their hearts full, with their souls full. And what's interesting too, we can't miss this, each disciple left with a goodie basket to carry for the rest of the day, maybe overnight, maybe the next day. It's interesting there wasn't one basket of food left over, or 13. There was 12. There was one basket of leftovers for every disciple. And I'm wondering if as they walked to where they were going to rest that night or walked to where they were going to teach and heal that next day, did they keep looking at the basket? And maybe they take a bite or two, but they're thinking, wow, look what we just saw. That's power. Let me finish up, and if you want to slip to the piano, we'll finish up here in just a second. You see, I don't have any physical food for you today. Aw. So you'll have to go to Long John Silver's on your own after church if you want. But I do hope I have left you with your hearts full. I hope I've left you with your spirits full. I hope you leave this building with the knowledge that God loves you. And he loves everything about you, every area of your life. And he wants to provide for you, not just with enough, but with more than enough, in every area, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and of course, spiritual. And if you're already a believer, you can rest on this provision. But those that are outside of God's family, they don't have this. And they need to confess their sin, believe Jesus paid their sin debt, believe that he rose from the grave and he lives today. Those people could be a child of God. So maybe you have family or friends that are in that situation. Maybe there's something that you can take away from today and give them a basket of something you've learned from this morning's message. Well, Roy, what song are we going to conclude with?
Thank you.